Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
First, it is the day thousands of businesses across the country have been waiting for. Hairdressers, beauty salons and bookshops are among those businesses opening their doors today for the first time this year. And our reporter Brian O'Connell joins us from a busy hair salon in Cork City Centre. Brian, you must think we're so busy here that we haven't time to look at Instagram, but I did see you at 8:30 this morning with your head in a basin.
That was the before pic, I have to say, Claire, just in the case you think I'd got my hair done. I'm here in Soby Brown's salon. It's on Morrison's Quay in the centre of Cork City Centre. And today really is a day people have been waiting for 5 months. From 8:30 this morning, customers began arriving for appointments. I can tell you, if you walked in off the street today looking for a new appointment, you're looking at a wait of 6 weeks. They're that busy in advance. I suppose the difference with reopening now is that each customer has to have an appointment. So really, you simply can't walk in to your local barber or hairdresser and be seen on spec. And then all the other health measures, Claire, are in place here. Some hairdressers, including the one here, will take your temperature when you arrive. Obviously, you have to sanitize your hands, wear a mask, and then all the fabrics being used are being washed, I'm told, at 60 degrees. And then the screens and there's different areas segregated within the salon here to separate customers.
Okay, so tell us about the lucky ones then, Brian, the ones who are first in the door this morning.
I'd say you're so jealous, are you?
Just a bit.
Just after 8:30, there was one or two people waiting when the doors were opened, and they'd been waiting for 5 months, of course. They got their temperature checked on arrival. They're in different parts of the salon now, and we can hear from some of them.
I'm delighted to be here. It's a long time coming.
So the last time you had a haircut?
That was December.
December.
How's her hair looking? Has she been at the DIY home?
She has, but you know what? People have had to do what they've had to do. Hair is our armour. You haven't done a bad job. So it's not...
Don't be telling her that. She might not come back.
Well, you know what? I think the experience is sometimes what people are here for as well, isn't it? More than anything.
Completely. I'm our own family hairdresser. I have to cut all the boys' hair
this
and my daughter's hair. But, you know, it's not the same when you're doing it yourself.
Yeah. So what's the plan this morning?
We're just going to make over.
This is it.
Tell me, you were looking forward to today, obviously.
I couldn't wait.
Really?
Couldn't wait. And when Katie rang me, it was like winning the lottery to get the first phone call. Yeah, it's great. I'm getting a colour, highlights, and a great cut and treatments.
We're all waiting for lots of different things.
Yeah.
We're waiting to meet our parents and our grandparents and so on. But this is just one little example of hope, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And this morning, hearing the country opening up again, it is another bit of hope. In the bigger picture, there is bigger problems besides our hair. You know what I mean? So coming back, it's a lovely treat and it's a great luxury, but I think getting more vaccinated and getting up and going again is our main priority.
I'm one of the first customers in this morning, delighted.
What have the last few months been like for you?
Very mixed, to be honest. My husband is a publican, so I've had the turbulence of him being off from his lifestyle. For me, I'm involved in the manufacturing industry and supply to the manufacturing industry, so it's been extremely busy in certain industries. We adapted to the change and we adapted quite effectively, to be honest.
Even though there's a bit of normality today, obviously for your husband, he's not back to work yet.
But he's getting ready to get back to work and there's a lot of excitement now. There's a lot of excitement on social media. There's a lot of excitement getting the outdoor areas ready. And even, you know, coming up to the city this morning, I said, seeing people are out about queuing for pennies, queuing for shops to get in, to get their slots. It's exciting. And how about yourself?
My hair, is it?
Yeah.
Is that a hint?
Yeah, it's lovely. Looking very natural, I have to say. That's what I enjoyed. No, it's lovely. Go natural. That's it.
She's been very nice to you, Brian. You have a fine head of curls now, the truth be told.
Yeah, I'm quite happy enough with it. It hasn't been this long since the 1990s. I think I'll keep it.
Yeah, it looks good. Now, that's the customer side. But on the staff side, we were hearing a bit from business over the last couple of days about the difficulties in getting staff for the reopening. Is that a feature of the business there where you are?
Well, thankfully, they've been able to retain their staff here, and obviously the government supports have helped. But I suppose we don't want to sugarcoat it, Claire. I mean, it has been very difficult for businesses over the last 5 months. I spoke to owner Pamela Morrissey here just about how challenging it has been and how she's delighted to be able to open the doors this morning.
There's just a fantastic energy, a much better energy, actually, than the last lockdown. I think we're a bit more comfortable with opening up. The panic is not here. We're just so grateful that we're back. We're so grateful that our customers have been so patient Everyone has been delirious on the phone.
And what's the appointments book looking like for the next few weeks?
It's absolutely block booked, but I will tell you this, it's lovely and calm. We've broke the salon into two teams, so there's lots and lots of space and safety. What we're giving out is an experience, and we're excited to give it out. We're excited to give back.
There have been challenges, obviously, over the last few months.
There have, and I know what you're saying. You're worried in case we're fantasising about the future. No, you know, there have been challenges over the last few months, and everything is a challenge, but everything also is how you see it. We've dealt with all the emergencies, so now it's time to make the most of what we have in front of us.
Is this going to be your last lockdown?
Here's hoping. I do believe it is. Who knows what the future holds? We take every day as it comes and make the most of everything we can. But what I will say is we're in demand like we've never been before. When I opened my business, if I could have wished for this kind of demand, I would have asked Santa Claus for this. And here it is. I'm delighted.
It was interesting, people coming in already, they've been doing the sort of DIY jobs, but not too bad.
And listen, we're professionals. If you have done a DIY job, don't be afraid. This is our job. We're professionals. We're able.
Pure joy. Brian, there is a problem though with all of this booking ahead, and Pamela was saying they're booked out for weeks, but they have an issue. This industry as a whole has an issue with no shows, and they're worried about that again this time.
Absolutely. I mean, it is expected to be incredibly busy for the coming weeks. But last year, this issue of no-shows was a very significant one. The Hair and Beauty Industry Confederation estimated that over €500,000 was lost per day because of no-shows. And I suppose it left many salons with no option but to introduce a booking deposit. Now, the industry group is asking that customers would obviously cancel or reschedule well in advance if they can't attend for their appointments.
When are you getting your hair cut, Brian?
Like I said, my hair is so long at this stage, I'm going to need to take a half day to try and get it sorted. The last time my hair was this long, actually, Tony Blair was cool. So that tells you how long ago it was.
Do you know what I think? I think you're not going to get it cut. I think you're going to leave it as it is, which is fine.
It's fine. All I'll say is thankfully we're on radio, not to telly.
Brian, thanks very much. Brian O'Connell there. And now we move to Sharon Hoey of Sharon Hoey Bridal Boutique. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Claire. Good morning.
You must have some excited brides waiting to get in the doors today.
Very excited brides and very excited staff. We are, we really can't wait. We're having a bit of a more soft opening today, just so that we can kind of try out our new procedures and, you know, how we're working it. And really, we kick off properly, I guess, tomorrow.
You must have people, Sharon, who have ordered dresses but haven't seen them.
Well, we always have, because of the nature of how our business is, we always have brides who've ordered dresses and never get to see them for 6 months. So that's kind of not really different. But what we have now is we've got brides who got engaged in maybe October, November, December, planned a wedding for July, August, and have never even put their foot inside a bridal store.
Okay.
So that's where the difficulty is.
And we heard that the hair salon there inundated with requests for appointments. Yeah. Is it the same for yourself?
Yeah, hundreds. I mean, I'm wading through the emails, you know. So apologies to all of you out there. I will get back to you. You know, it's just really difficult. We're a small team, you know, and we are trying to get through everything. But, you know, it's great. The sun is shining. The shop looks beautiful. We're very, very happy to be back.
Ready for action.
We have only traded for 18 weeks out of the last 52.
It's extraordinary. Normally with bridal try-on experiences, often the whole family will be there. Mam will be there, the sisters, the bridesmaids. Yeah. I assume you have to limit all that now.
Yeah, well, you know, the appointment, the SFA have given a guideline. The appointment is 45, 50 minutes. You know, you do your appointments on the hour and you have one guest with you. You know, and this is how we ran it after the first lockdown and how we ran it after the second lockdown, and this is how we're running it now. Now, very happy. It's a shorter appointment, but, you know, you send us in everything you've been looking at online on our website. You give us an idea. So we're kind of really, we're ready for you. And there's actually two of us now looking after each bride. So, you know, it's a great experience, you know, and very excited.
And what other changes have you had to make to the boutique and to the shopping experience to make sure that you're trading within the guidelines?
Well, the big one for us really is the one client, because we actually have, you know, our store is sort of split into three separate areas. So now we're only seeing one person. So whereas on a Saturday we might see 21 brides, we're only now seeing 7. So that's going to be I expect we're going to have to take a big hit on our actual turnover of sales on that. Hopefully it won't be too bad, but you know, it's safety. We've put in air purifiers. That's our main thing. So we have these really good air purifiers put in, and you know, you can actually smell the difference. The air feels so crisp, which is wonderful.
Well, Sharon, we wish you well when you get underway tomorrow. Thank you very much for talking to us. That's Sharon Hoey there from her bridal boutique. A listener here is so happy. I got into Penny's this morning at 7. I put makeup on for the first time in 4 months. I'm heading into town for my shopping appointments, and repeats again. I'm so happy. I was late to the Penny's party. I had a look at the appointment system over the weekend. Not a chance. It was absolutely booked out. Well, today's loosening of restrictions will see prospective home buyers allowed to view properties by appointment once again. And for more on this, I'm joined on the line by Barry McDonald, spokesperson for the Real Estate Alliance. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Claire.
So how will this work? Viewings permitted to take place by appointment now?
Yes. So we're back to where we were before this latest lockdown, where we can have viewings in limited situations. It's maximum of 2 adults for a viewing. It's individual appointments only. Obviously, we will carry out checks on parties that they fulfill confirmation that they haven't had close contacts or COVID symptoms, and they wear masks for the viewings and refrain from touching anything. Ideally, we keep doors and windows open for the viewing as well.
Okay, now sales were going well despite the fact that people couldn't see the property until they had done the deal to buy. So will there be a place on from here for virtual viewings, do you think?
I think the technology that we've had to embrace as estate agents since the start of the pandemic is here to stay. I think people have liked it. Now, today is a day that, you know, you referred in relation to the hair salon, pure joy. It is pure joy, and certainly more to the point, hope for house hunters across the country. They've had a really torrid time of it, relying on, you know, video walkthroughs and photographs and maybe virtual tours of property or virtual viewings. But it's not the same as crossing the threshold and going into a house and seeing it. Like for any of us, buying a house is one of the biggest decisions we make in our life, and for most of us it's something we pay for over the next 30 years of our life. So asking people, as we have done over the last few months, to commit to a house, to buy it without going in and seeing it, has been very, very frustrating for people, and it's put off an awful lot of buyers from proceeding further.
It's off-putting unless you're an investment fund, but that's another story.
Yeah. Where it has helped, though, where this will help, we believe, extraordinarily well for buyers as well, is there's an awful lot of people out there who've refrained from putting their houses on the market. So we've had a very limited supply of houses on the market, which has added to a kind of a pent-up demand, creating this upward pressure on prices. And I do believe, you know, we should see an increase in the stock levels. All our agents across the country have the same complaints.
Okay, well,
there's just not enough for sale.
That might be a good news story coming from today. You feel that people will be willing to put the house up on the market now that the viewings are back?
I do. Some people, look, the market has continued to operate. Houses have been sold throughout this period, but for many people it just wasn't what they were comfortable doing. I suppose when you put your house on the market, you want to be able to showcase it as best you can. You want to get the best price you can for it, naturally, too. And a lot of people have just felt, look, this is an unnatural situation whereby people are bidding on my house based on a few photographs or a video. And now we can actually operate normally and get people in to see the house. So the stock levels should increase.
What about auctions, Barry?
So auctions are, by and large, will continue to go online. We're advised, though, where possible, to continue to do these online. There is a permission to do an in-room auction for a maximum of 6 parties, so long as they're socially distanced from each other, or 15 outdoors. But I do think for the foreseeable future, we'll continue to see auctions go online.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the in-person viewings now, despite the fact there might be a lift in supply, it could change the increase in property prices. It could have an influence on increases too, would you say?
Well, there is definitely certain buyers who've refrained from entering into this situation. They just thought it was mad, and they just were not willing to bid for a property in a situation where they couldn't go and see it. So we will see certain parties come to the market that have maybe refrained since the turn of the year. However, I think that the levels of stock levels should overcompensate on that, and we might see some sort of balancing, because the last few months there's been a real difference between supply and demand. There's been a pent-up demand and a real shortage of supply. So hopefully that'll help the buyers who've had a tough time.
All right, Barry McDonald there from Real Estate Alliance. Another McDonald now, Father Joe McDonald, Parish Priest of St. Patrick's and St. Bridget's in Selbridge and Strafford. Good morning, Father Joe.
Hello, Claire. Lovely to talk to you.
And it's a good day for you as well, because for the first time in some months, people can now attend religious services in person. How do you feel about that?
Oh, sure. Listen, it's great. I mean, the word joy has been used a few times, and that's very much. We're not actually open until tomorrow when the church is open. We don't celebrate Mass on a Monday here. This is our day of reflection when we sort of try and reflect on what happened yesterday, the Sunday liturgy, the highlight of the week. So tomorrow we'll have two Masses in two beautiful churches. And yeah, it's great. It's a joyous occasion, Claire, where, you know, I mean, we have done our best with online, but like Mass was never meant to be celebrated, you know, virtually. So great to be gathered. And I have to say, there was a few times walking onto the altar in St. Patrick's with a closed church and a, you know, nobody there. I just, there was a sadness about that at times.
Yeah, and I'm sure as well, in thinking about it, your experience of having people in the church was centred around funerals, I would imagine, in the main.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the whole thing about the sacrament, you see, is that it brings you into the high points and the low points of people's lives. That's why they're as relevant as they are. So we missed out on the you know, the joy of baptizing the little baby, and of course the couples, you know, listening to the bridal shop there as well. I mean, the couples who had to postpone weddings sometimes, Claire, believe it or not once or twice, but three times, you know, so you can imagine what that was like.
Yeah, very difficult.
But the real heartbreak, of course, is, you know, the funeral. And you know, again, I don't want to be slipping into politicizing it, but to be honest, Claire, like 10 people, you know, allowed in a big church, you know, it was probably the hardest part of it, you know, because people were heartbroken enough without that, you know.
This is it. Well, now you'll be up to 50, which I know for some people, you know, big families will be very difficult. But look, it's an improvement on where you were. Do you think people will be willing to go into church now? Some people might feel very anxious about it. We'll be talking a bit more about this later on in the programme. But do you think people are ready to go back?
Oh, there's no doubt, Claire. It's not as simple as that, you know. I mean, there are people who I think probably won't come back. We may have lost people during the pandemic. Then there are people who will come back, but it's going to take time. They are anxious and they're going to go slowly, and you wouldn't blame them for that. They'll watch it and they'll, you know, they'll come back in their own time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, I think that's a bigger challenge for us. I mean, I'm you know, today's excitement is great and the joy of it, but the bigger joy for us is that we have an Archbishop now, a new Archbishop, Dermot Farrell, and he has given us great hope and excitement because he set up a task force which is going to really move us forward into a new reality. Because this phrase, you know, we're not going back. I hope we don't go back to where we were. We want to try and, you know, build something different, Claire. And that will be, you know, trying to reach people who have never come, people who have gone away for various reasons, sometimes for really good reasons. And, of course, we'll try and look after the regular as well. But if we only concentrate on the regular, we'll be in trouble, because obviously, you know, that's a small group.
And for now, you have to limit your attendances to 50 people, and you have an app on your website so people can book in.
That's right. We have an app on the website called Book a Pew. It's not just new, because we had it for the previous, period of restriction as well. And yeah, by and large, it's working well, Claire. I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, whoever thought it'd be in a situation where you'd be booking your seat at Mass? You know, it sounds a bit crazy, but
yeah. But at the weekends, I would imagine it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, it's not such a big challenge during the week. Generally, it works okay, but the big challenge is the weekend. Yeah, that's the difficulty. And you're trying to say to people, look, you know, if one of the things we'd be saying to people, instead of getting caught and saying, I have to be at Mass every day, to go once a week, or, you know, and try and give other people a chance and stuff like that. But that's the real challenge. And I mean, we hope that this is the beginning of a gradual, bigger opening up, you know.
Well, look, we wish you well over the course of the coming week and indeed
You're
weeks.
Right.
Father Joe McDonald, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
Linda Kelly of the Better Maternity Care Campaign is on the line now. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Claire.
You're one of the people behind this open letter signed by 60,000 people. It calls on the government, NPHET and the HSE to end maternity restrictions for expectant women and their partners. What you want essentially, Linda, is a more streamlined approach right across the country.
Absolutely. I think, you know, listening to everybody this morning, it does make you feel excited and it does make you feel hopeful. But also then, you know, you're left with this question of, but why not maternity? And I think, you know, a lot of people thought last week when the head of the HSC said the time is right to lift restrictions, that that would actually be implemented. And it's not going to be. And we don't have a roadmap for when all of the maternity restrictions are going to be lifted. And so it's really hard if you're attending maternity services at the moment or you've been through it during COVID like I have, to hear the Minister for Health on the radio saying, you know, we really want to see spectators back in Croke Park. And then you're getting messages from women to say they're still labouring in car parks so they can have a partner with them, attending for pregnancy loss on their own, going into antenatal appointments on their own, going to the booking scan on their own, being induced on their own. Like, how can we have that and then also have the rest of society opening up?
You're frustrated as well at the fact that antigen testing is not being used in hospitals. You think that would allow partners to have greater access?
Yeah, it's definitely an option that would help protect the safety of everybody involved. One of the things we've been shocked by, to be honest, is the lack of innovation from the HSC around the maternity services. They have pivoted in so many other services to provide them in different ways during COVID. But with maternity services, there's this really blinkered approach that if we keep the partners out, that will save us from COVID.
Mm-hmm. And, is it not hard, though, Linda, to have a blanket approach to this? Because some facilities in certain parts of the country would be very different to others.
There's a basic minimum standard of care that we believe can be met safely in all hospitals and units. And I think really what's happening is there's a power play between the hospitals and the HSC nationally, because I don't know any other country whereby the head of the HSC and the head of clinical operations for the HSC would say, we're going to put in a policy, and then you have individual hospitals saying, no, actually, we're not going to implement that. And that's a difficulty.
Okay, Linda, thank you very much for being with us this morning. That's Linda Kelly of the Better Maternity Care Campaign. Coming up after the break, I'll be joined in the studio by Minister of State for Sports and the Gaeltacht, Jack Chambers.